Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. In a recent article written by Edward Curtin, he wrote, "We have, as Harold Pinter said in his Nobel address, been feeding on, quote, a vast tapestry of lies that surrounds us. Lies uttered by nihilistic leaders and their media mouthpieces for a very long time. We have, or should have, bad consciences for not acknowledging being active or silent accomplices in the suppression of truth and the vicious murdering of millions at home and abroad." And as much as many would just simply disregard that statement as not being true based on the propaganda they choose to believe, the reality, very clearly, verifiably so, based on the history of this country, as this article goes into discuss, dating all the way back to the so-called founding of or discovery of America that was taken by force by the natives at the time, this history from then till now is rooted in violence, in war, in subversion, in propaganda. And the reality is that we are choosing to not acknowledge our own history, whether that makes us feel more comfortable about where we are, or simply that we're so surrounded by the lies today that we don't even realize we should be looking for something like that. The reality is we know better, but somehow manage to continually choose to believe these career liars. The propaganda that is pushed into our view every day, ceaselessly, blinds us from seeing what's happening right in front of us. So keeping that in mind, moving on to the first article of the day, this one coming from ZeroHedge.com and discussing Syria, something we've been keeping up on every single day because it is increasingly getting more important as the days move forward. This one entitled, U.S. says Assad has approved gas attack in Idlib, setting stage for major military conflict. So the Wall Street Journal has just published yet another report handed down from the very entities it was once their job to question, whereas now they just dutifully report whatever they're told and given by the government. This article was published on Sunday evening as Russian and Syrian warplanes continue their bombing raids over Al-Qaeda-held Idlib. It unsurprisingly cites unnamed U.S. officials who claim President Bashar al-Assad of Syria has approved the use of chlorine gas in an offensive against the country's last major rebel stronghold. It also details how Trump is undecided over whether new retaliatory strikes could entail expanding the attack to hit Assad allies, Russia and Iran, this time around. Yet again, unnamed U.S. officials are now claiming to be in possession of intelligence, which they say shows Assad has already given an order in what the author calls, quote, an absolutely unprecedented level of pre-crime telegraphing of events on the battlefield. And supposedly these officials have even identified the type of chemical weapon to be used, chlorine gas. Interesting how that's exactly what we've been talking about for months now. Interestingly, this is the way their propaganda works, using those claims being put forward and evidence of those claims to then reassert that that's them covering for their plan, which they're already about to carry out. Interesting. It's intelligent, actually, but only if you are unable to see through the reused, overused, continually used ploy of the same concept. This is literally cut and paste from the exact kind of things that have happened in other countries around the world over the past, well, really dating, like we said, back to the beginning of this country. The anonymous officials told the Wall Street Journal of, quote, new U.S. intelligence in what appears in eerily familiar repeat of precisely how the 2003 invasion of Iraq was sold to the American people. Namely, anonymous officials and vague assurances of unseen intelligence. And understand, undeniably so, we now know those were false assurances of intelligence. They assured us was the case. This is what is happening. We must act now because this is the real thing. And we now know that that was not the case. So we should at least be considering maybe this is also not the case. But then taking that one step further, we're very, very clear on this point. They knowingly lied to us about those points. Knowingly. This has been verified more times than I can count. We should also be considering whether now they're knowingly lying to us to progress their political agenda. It appears Washington is now saying an attack an American attack on Syrian government forces and locations is all but inevitable. And according to the report, President Trump may actually give the order to attack, even if there's no claim of a chemical attack, according to the Wall Street Journal. The article also points out that, quote, the Pentagon is crafting military options, but Mr. Trump hasn't decided whether exactly what exactly would trigger a military response or whether the U.S. would target Russian or Iranian military forces aiding Mr. Assad in Syria, according to the officials that they anonymously quote. The reality, again, pointing out that they are currently, based on the anonymous intel from government officials, considering a preemptive counterattack, a U.S. coined term, to attack in retaliation to something that has yet to happen, based on the anonymous claims of U.S. intelligence officials. Again, really let that resonate, knowing the factual case of Iraq, and there's many other points besides Iraq, but the fact that we can verifiably show that they knowingly lied to us for their political agenda, how this is even being considered is beyond me. Which shows you one of two things. Either they're so completely inept and unable to really address that very recent history, or they're simply part of the problem. The Wall Street Journal report cites White House discussions of a third strike, of course, in reference to U.S. attacks on Syria during the last two Aprils after chemical attacks, allegations were made against Damascus, while indicating it would, quote, likely would be more expansive than the first two and include and could include targeting Russia and Iran. More expansive, very revealing, and again, reasserting that the claims made in the past, such as Duma, are true without any realizing that even Mattis himself, as I continually point out, but the AP's own report, the Associated Press, and many other points, he openly said we have no evidence to support that claim. Plain. Verbatim. And yet still they reassert Duma and these other incidences as fact that this happened and so we're here, which is a lie. They know it's a lie. This may be exactly what they have been so forcefully pushing, the idea that it's essentially, you know, un-American to doubt the word of intelligence communities. You know, why this? I mean, it's been pretty routine up in the last year that if you even question what they say, despite Iraq and many other cases, that it's just un-American, because they knew that they might have to rely entirely on their faceless, unfounded claims. Again, just like they did in Iraq, which we now know was a planned fabrication. I mean, ultimately, right now, based on entirely on claims made by anonymous U.S. officials, the U.S. is claiming that Assad has approved the use of chlorine gas. Mind you, what we've already pointed out was the case. Russia showing evidence of them bringing the U.S.-backed extremists, bringing chlorine canisters, been presented to the U.N. and the United States, that he's going to be using this chlorine gas against the people of Idlib, which, if Americans, again, care to remember, was the exact same way this country was led into war with into Iraq under knowingly false pretenses, otherwise known as a lie. And an update on this very story, this article has been developing. They updated the title and added a few more points of information. This one saying Bolton warns next chemical attack by Assad will lead to much stronger strike on Syria. Interestingly, reasserting the very same things. This is how propaganda works. Trump's national security advisor, John Bolton, indicated during a speech today that the United States, Britain, and France have agreed to another use of chemical weapons, another use of chemical weapons by Syria, Freudian slip there, because they have very clearly used these in the past, would be taken, quote, very seriously, and will require a much stronger and harsher response. Now, understand, more than bombing, does that simply mean more bombs? Does that mean a chemical attack of their own? Does that mean a nuclear attack, a tactical nuke? I mean, these are the point. These are why they're saying it like this. Turkey's defense minister has also called for an all air and ground attacks on Idlib to stop immediately, calling for an urgent ceasefire to be established. This is according to Turkish state media. Interesting throw in there. Turkey has showed themselves to be kind of this back and forth. They kind of throw themselves where the wind blows, it seems, over all these events that have been happening, dancing back and forth between Russia and the United States, clearly seeing that they're just kind of throw this in there. So it seems like whatever happens, they're fighting for peace. But, you know, maybe they are. Who ultimately knows? But the reality here at the end of the day is they're the main point, the main takeaways. Now they're saying that they have proof based on anonymous officials that Assad has already ordered this attack. So now if they take action, in their eyes, as far as the propaganda goes, they're already verified. It's already legitimate. And then claiming that they might even just attack before anything is verified. Openly saying that now, as if they're justified. This moral superiority they continue to stand on. Baseless. Based on their own actions of the recent and long past. Very revealing here. And we'll continue to keep you updated on this incident in Syria. As I've been saying, it seems very clear based on their own rhetoric that something is absolutely coming. Based on absolutely no evidence other than anonymous intelligence officials. Let that resonate. Moving on to the next story, coming from RT.com, entitled, British Intelligence Planning Fake Chemical Attack in Syria, according to a United States senator. Interesting how this story continues to develop. That, you know, at one point, you know, anyone that spoke out against the establishment narrative, all fake news, Russian bot. But it's hard for them now to call the U.S. senator fake news or Russian bot, or maybe the entire country of Spain as they stand against what's going on in Yemen. It's interesting how it's becoming increasingly more difficult to just outright dismiss the claims when they're coming from people with inside their own circles. Now, of course, I'm not saying we should blindly trust what this person says or even coming from RT. We question everything, as I always say. Simply reporting on a report from RT does not mean we blindly trust that. I question everything that comes in front of me. However, we have much more facts to back up the claims that are being put forward by RT today than anything coming from the side of Western media. In fact, nothing coming from the Western media other than assertions of evidence and just reasserting the same thing over and over. Yes, we have lots and lots of evidence, but I'm sorry, we can't show you. That shouldn't fly with any of us. Virginia State Senator Richard Black has in fact claimed that UK intelligence was planning a chemical attack in Syria, which they would then blame on the Syrian government. Sounds very familiar. Black made the claim after a meeting with President Bashar al-Assad himself. He said, quote, around 4 weeks ago, we knew that British intelligence was working towards a chemical attack in order to blame the Syrian government to hold Syria responsible. Black later clarified that he meant the British were not planning to carry out the attack themselves. Rather, they intend to use direct rebel forces to do so or stage a fake attack with actors playing victims. Again, very similar to what we've been saying. And we know that the US and the UK and France are all just somewhat involved in this, as well as Israel and possibly even Saudi Arabia, at least complicit and aware of what they're going to carry out. And as we have repeatedly discussed, Russia, for over a month, has been warning that the surrounded rebels in Idlib are preparing a false flag attack to frame Damascus and trigger a U.S.-led coalition intervention. In turn, U.S. Marine General Joseph Dunford says he's involved in routine dialogue with Donald Trump to keep him informed about military options for retaliation in case chemical weapons are used by anyone, apparently. In April, the U.S. led a series of strikes against the Syrian government, avowedly in response to the Douma chemical attack, which they blamed on Assad, which we now know, verifiably so, even by people like Robert Fisk in the mainstream media, that this attack, in fact, did not take place. And yet they continue to ignore that fact in response to what we're looking at today. I would say willfully so. According to Black, previous alleged chemical attacks on the Syrian rebel-held area were also fakes concocted by the UK alongside the so-called White Helmets, a group of first responders who faced numerous accusations of being linked to Syria's jihadist opposition. He says, quote, from what I can tell, they have been planning a fake attack, not a genuine one, but one where they actually move people out of a town and they have trained people to portray victims of a gas attack. And the plan is to use the White Helmets, who have always been involved in these notorious deceptions, to portray an attack. Black's assertions of British plotting flies in the face of both the Obama and Trump administration's claims that Assad has used chemical weapons against the Syrian people. Now, the ultimate point, again, is that we should not blindly trust anybody, especially a U.S. senator, in my opinion. But the point of someone in his position making these claims is a big deal. And it's interesting to see how far this can go and how many people they can just dismiss before we begin to ask ourselves, maybe there's some truth to this. Maybe we are being deceived. Maybe we're being lied to by the very people pretending to help the Syrian people, when in fact Assad is the one protecting his people from the U.S.-backed extremists on the ground, including the white helmets. Those that watch this channel on the regular know this stuff. We've shown this, verified this, by on-the-ground people. Vanessa Bealey, Eva Bartlett. Like I said even before, Robert Fisk himself, on the ground, reporting that Duma was in fact a false flag. Interesting. It's time we begin recognizing the reality of the situation and helping people that have not seen this yet to see it for themselves. Moving on to a related story. Interesting, coming from globalresearch.ca. A very it's a powerful article with a lot of information. Entitled Donald Trump to the Rescue of the Same Al-Qaeda Freedom Fighters Who Attacked America on 9/11. The article, the headline says it all, and I recommend you read this article, as all of these, as always, for yourself in entirety, and come to your own conclusions. Because I'm not going to cover everything that's in this article. There's quite a bit of information in that article, but the real point for me here, the real point of this article is to, again, just make it very clear to people, very clear, that even based on the words of Brett McGurk himself, as we've played, I really don't know how many times.
In Idlib province, Idlib province is the largest al-Qaeda safe haven since 9/11, tied directly to Ayman al-Zawahiri. This is a huge problem.
That is the reality of Idlib. That's the reality on the ground of what's going on in Idlib. The largest al-Qaeda stronghold since 9/11. From the State Department. And the reality that right now, the very people that the United States based the entirety of the war on terror around, created the false narrative around Afghanistan, to invade Afghanistan, to initiate Article 5 of NATO and get all of the other countries involved, and has now become the war on terror that's seen the decimation of untold numbers of countries and civilians, is currently being protected by the United States government in Idlib. I mean, that's undeniable at this point, despite the forceful claims of the Western media. This is a fact. And coming up tomorrow on the anniversary of 9/11 to realize the United States government is currently protecting those people should be shocking to all of us. And to counter the reality of the Western media, of what they continue to put forth, that these people are, the reality that the Russians and the Syrians are attacking civilians and murdering people and just these maniacs doing these terrible things, I again would like to show you the reality on the ground. And of course, this comes from RT, but this, as I pointed out, is confirmed by people on the ground, actual journalists, not the mainstream propagandists taking the word directly from the government. Well, fantastic. It looks like the video decided to freeze up on me. That was the one I just showed the other day. The one of personnel on the ground. Doctors, medics, helping women and children, evacuating them from Idlib in buses to send them somewhere safe. Which completely flies in the face of the Western media saying that they're trapping civilians in Idlib and they're going to murder these children for no other reason that they're maniacal, evil villains trying to kill people. Which adds nothing to their geopolitical, their geostrategic plans. It just doesn't make any sense, but they continue to force that. And of course, my video decides to freeze up on me, but this was in a previous video, and I'll make sure to include that in the show notes for you to check out for yourself. But the unspoken truth is that the Syrian government is intent upon liberating a region of the country where civilians are in fact being held hostage by Al-Qaeda-affiliated terrorists, supported by the U.S. and its allies, verifiably so. As I just pointed out, Brett McGurk said it himself, the largest al-Qaeda safe haven since 9/11. What he fails to mention is that these jihadist mercenaries entered Syria with the support of US, NATO, Israel, Turkey, not to mention the Gulf states. Until recently, we called them moderate rebels. And we also have to understand that UK and US, we just reported on, were trapped in terrorist-held Idlib. Why are they there? if not to help these people? Of course, that's likely why they're forcefully putting out the idea that these are rebels and that we need to support and save these people from the evil Syrians. But the reality here is that they're helping the terrorists on the ground. They're there. They were trapped there. What are they doing? Planning things, like most likely from what we've seen in the past. But again, come to your own conclusions on this. But the simple fact that we found 200 specialized U.S. troops caught in Idlib after they're coming in to take back their sovereign territory, the Syrians, that's pretty damning when you put that together. Now, again, they're banking on the hope that you will not simply do the smallest amount of research and see that even they admitted that the very province of focus, Idlib, is occupied by U.S.-funded, armed, and clearly protected extremists, and instead blindly trust whatever they're pumping out in the mainstream media. Idlib is al-Qaeda's de facto capital in Syria. According to Tony Cartolucci, quote, Idlib remains one of the last remaining strongholds of al-Qaeda in Syria. And the U.S. right now is doing everything it can to keep it that way. Moving on to the next story, coming from RT. This one entitled, U.S. Jets Strike Syrian Town with Banned White Phosphorus Bombs, according to Russian Defense Ministry. So as always, take it with a grain of salt. If you choose, you know, we report on any number of things, but the reality, again, as I continue to point out, the why this holds water is because, verifiably so, the U.S. has even admitted to doing just this in Iraq. So based in facts, based on the reality of our own history. And this is a very interesting story, seeing this happen right as they're currently accusing another country baselessly of using chemical weapons. I find that to be very interesting that this is the way this has been working out. So two U.S. jets have bombed a town in the Syrian Deir ez-Zor province with white phosphorus munitions, causing massive fires, according to the Russian military. Two F-15 jets on Saturday bombed the town of Hanjin with white phosphorus incendiary munitions, which is banned under the Geneva Convention, according to Russian Center for Reconciliation in Syria. Following the strikes, large fires were observed in the area, according to one of the people on the ground. There's still no information on casualties caused by the bombing, he said. A Pentagon spokesperson denied the allegations of dropping white phosphorus bombs. He said, quote, at this time, we have not received any reports of any use of white phosphorus, very clearly saying that they have it and would use it, but just at this moment, we haven't used it and we have no reports coming in that we've used it. Very, just a perfect political dance around. He says none of the military units in that area are even equipped with white phosphorus munitions. Of course, in that area, just, you know, really making it very clear that yes, we have and would use them, maybe just not right in this one moment. The use of any incendiary munitions in populated civilian areas was banned by the 1980 Protocol 3 of the Convention on Certain Conventional Weapons. The U.S. signed the protocol back in 2009. White phosphorus, however, is also used for smoke screens and signals, which are not banned under the convention. The loophole allows several nations, including the U.S., to keep the white phosphorus-based weapons in their arsenal. And it's really a massive loophole, like they said. It is a massive, massive way to sidestep the reality. There are many much, much more useful ways to use smoke screens and signals. The reason they allow this is so they can have cover when they choose to use white phosphorus, which is very, very damaging. And again, is in fact a banned chemical weapon. Now, whether they used it in this case or not, whether the Russians are making it up or not, is up to you to decide. But again, I reassert the fact that in Iraq, the United States themselves have admitted to using white phosphorus on civilians. Of course, for smoke screens that burn the skin away from hundreds of civilians, but, you know, that's for you to decide as on your own, as always. But speaking of chemical weapons and their use on civilians by the U.S. and their allies, even while they levy false accusations based on manufactured events, another interesting video came out on YouTube, this one from Rupley, showing something very interesting. Protesters retrieve Israeli drone used to launch tear gas in the Gaza Strip. Now, I find this one to be very revealing. Now, many people don't understand that tear gas is also a banned weapon, considered a chemical weapon, banned in wartime, which we're seeing right here, very clearly by their own admission. And I find this to be very revealing as we continue to see actual proof of U.S. and their allies using things banned under chemical weapons conventions, and yet they're accusing other countries of things with absolutely no evidence whatsoever. But these things get ignored by the Western media, by no surprise. And we have this video for you to check out for yourself. As they're dragging this drone, bringing it back, you can actually see as it responds. This, and understand that these are unarmed protesters during the Great March of Return. They're simply, and I have worse coming up in just a moment. But you can see that just the way that this thing is responding and the way that it acts right here is it releases tear gas, which is damning. It's quite damning that, you know, that is gas being released from the drone. Now, understand, if these are protesters, rightfully so, why would they have drones with any kind of gas release? You know, and people that may want to claim to themselves that the Palestinians are terrorists and they're all doing, you know, whatever you want to justify it as, that's fine if you want to go that route. The reality is this is a international crime. This is a violation of international law. But, you know, maybe on the smaller end compared to what they've actually been doing. Shooting unarmed children, women, paramedics, any number of things they've been doing that is just ignored by Western media. But the reality is that this is a crime. Now, even though tear gas has been classified as a chemical weapon, it's been banned in international conflict since 1993. And there's a clear example of Israel using it right there against unarmed protesters in what they themselves have deemed an open conflict against the Palestinian people, despite them being the illegally occupying force, mind you. I just find that to be incredibly damning. But of course, under everything else that's going on, it'll just get swept aside. Oh, well, it's, you know, it's the Palestinians' fault, or however they justify it. But we have mountains of evidence just like that to show you the reality of the situation. Now, in the same line of thought, as we've covered this more times than I can possibly count, of children and women and doctors and any number of journalists being shot while simply doing their jobs by the Israeli government and the U.S. ignoring it or saying it's okay. Here's another example, this article coming from the Free Thought Project, entitled "Horrifying Video Shows Israeli Soldiers Shoot, Kill 16-Year-Old Boy While His Hands Were in the Air." Now, this video is hard to watch, and I will show it to you in a second. It's not gory, but it's a disturbing video, and it was posted online this week that shows the moments before a 16-year-old Palestinian boy was shot down by Israeli soldiers while he stood in a field with his hands very clearly in the air. The boy was identified as Ahmed Masbah Abu Tahir. I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly. And he was pronounced dead on Saturday morning as a result of the injuries he sustained from the shooting on Friday. The shooting reportedly occurred during a protest, and Abu Tahir can be seen picking up a rock off the ground and hurling it into the air. Now watch the video and we'll note on it in just a second. Now, I know that can be hard to watch for some, but it's important to make a point. Now, as the article notes in the video, it does not appear that the rock thrown by Abu Tahir hit anything or harmed anyone. And the boy can be seen standing with his hands in the air for approximately 10 seconds before he is shot once and he collapses to the ground. Now, some viewers would argue that because he picked up a rock and threw it into the air, that he was armed and posed a threat to Israeli soldiers who appeared to be perched on top of a sand dune. However, that logic begs the question, how is a boy with a rock a legitimate threat to a trained sniper with a gun, especially when there are a few hundred feet between them? Now, I agree with that completely. And the reality even more is that they're behind a fence and a bunker with guns, trained military, and you have a child throwing a rock. And if that can somehow justify in your mind the murder of that child, then you have no moral superiority to stand on whatsoever. And the reality is you are simply blinding yourself to the reality of the situation of these occupied people, occupied Palestine. And these people throwing rocks, admittedly, doing many other things as they protest for their rightful place, is being shot down with his hands in the air. That is a international crime. That is a war crime. And there's no denying that. The reality is the people just simply make justifications about it. Well, he threw a rock and, you know, whatever. But the truth is that that guy was murdered. That child was murdered with his hands in the air. And this is a U.S. ally. This is who the United States oligarchy currently supports. While they're currently considering bombing a sovereign nation based on false claims before anything actually happens. We have to recognize what's happening today. As I said in the beginning, the propaganda blinds us from seeing what's happening right in front of our eyes. What we're seeing today, or recently, with things like the anonymous op-ed in the New York Times, is really quite brilliant, as it has in one fell swoop made it so regardless of actions carried out by the current administration, that they are just an extension of, you know, really of long since administrations planned before Obama, Bush, the same, even before that. They are extensions of the long sought plan and decades of planned neocolonialism. And we'll have one side will always be able to simply just say, well, that's just the resistance group and not Donald Trump. They're fighting against him, the deep state. So what they just did there, bombing Syria, that wasn't Donald Trump and he's fighting them. And the other side can tell themselves that it's all okay because there's an organized effort to fight from within. So just sit back and trust the plan. So both sides are now seemingly trusting the plan and neither feel the actions are representative of their side, of their politics. And while this game of deflection and identity politics consumes many, the same verifiably long-sought goals are still being carried out right in front of you. While so many bicker about the politics placed, the topics placed right in front of them by the ruling hand, simply responding to whatever stimuli appears in their view, like a cat batting at some dangling toy, people are dying. Countries are falling. And the one group that has the power to make it all stop stands on the front line of a manufactured divide, starving, exhausted, and overwhelmed. The American people, all while pointing the finger at their brethren, as the social engineers laugh at our devotion to their ploy and stuff their pockets full of what's rightfully ours. Let that resonate. Think on that. Reflect on the propaganda and what it really means to blind ourselves to the crimes of our allies and create lies about those that the oligarchy seeks to topple for long-sought political goals. Thank you for tuning in today. Make sure you stay tuned for the T-Lab Research and Review, where we'll continue talking about this and much more that I wasn't able to include. Make sure you check out the sources and the independent show notes below, the independent sources in the show notes below, as I always have everything there for you to look at for yourself. And as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.